And we are live. This is Dark Journalist. It's great to be with you here on Thursday night. And this is a very special update, which we'll be following up with a full broadcast tomorrow night. Oh, let me get that. And it's great to have everyone here with us on short notice. I wanted to do an election censorship update. After watching the president give an address earlier and all the shenanigans we've been observing since my last report on election night on this, so we're looking at something quite remarkable. And like I said, tomorrow night we will be following it up. And so you get the full kind of report there. And I also want to announce a very special interview that I'll be doing tomorrow. I'll try to air that live tomorrow, but if not, I'll record it and put it out for the weekend. And it is going to be extraordinary. So I want everyone to stay tuned for that. I see Groovy Bean is out there holding the fort. And it's great to see her out there handling things so well. And I probably will get to most of your questions tomorrow night, just to let you know. All right, so let's jump into this. First of all, Trump came out around 6 p.m. and he gave really kind of a good, steady, measured response to all the kind of gobbledygook that we've been seeing coming out of the media, which has been at times hysterical and at other times, just beyond belief, including the massive vote totals showing up for Biden out of the blue. Now, they've been censoring people left and right on this, and this is what concerns me, and it's why I'm here tonight talking to you. Out of sequence in terms of doing it as a preview for tomorrow night's show, because earlier today, Steve Bannon, who, as we know, at times has been in Trump's court and out of Trump's court at other times, well, he was doing his show War Room, where he's really tracking with Giuliani and all these other people the different efforts to get the recounts going, and zap, he's taken off immediately from YouTube and Twitter. Now, what really bothers me is the coordination between these social media companies, and it tells me that they got their marching orders from Davos and that whole crew and the Bilderberg meetings, all of these things and these groups coming together at the same time, which is a very disturbing trend. And what it means basically is that they're going to be coming together to do this to silence, and as we've seen, all these social media channels thrown off. Small and big, doesn't matter. We've been seeing it on such a regular basis. They basically want to silence any voices of dissent, and we can't allow that to happen. And the way we can kind of keep things going is to keep the word out and keep our own solidarity going. I want to mention, in relation to the Dark Journalist show, to go to darkjournalist.com, sign up for the newsletter, because that gets us around all of the censorship that we've seen going on here. Now, what they're trying to do is get out of the narrative of this being actually a very tight race because, it takes 270 electoral votes to win. And in actual fact, Biden does not even really have the 243, but they've boosted him up to 264 to create this kind of inevitability wave. And one of the interesting things I've done is made maps of the actual totals based on mainstream media's own results. And this is actually quite fascinating because when we look at the totals on the Electoral College, we see that Trump is actually winning. And this is a really big problem for these guys because they're trying to get Trump out of the way. And quite possibly, I've seen some very alarming reports that they're planning to do all these investigations into Trump. One of them I have here, and this is kind of like the punishment of Trump for, disobeying the New World Order and getting us out of China's pocket. And again, wherever you come down on the argument for Trump or for Biden or for the Green Party or whatever, doesn't really matter because censorship is something that we all object to. And it should be something that we roundly denounce under any circumstances, whether it's for someone we like or not. Now, so this is the story. It just came off 3 minutes ago from Reuters, and it's federal watchdog probing Trump's campaign's use of White House lawmaker. That's the story. This is very important because what they're trying to do is take the story out of the kind of election vote theft and move it into this investigation of Trump phase really fast. So they're moving on their heels because they know that they're in trouble because the overreach with the voter fraud, which we're going to get into, is not looking good. And regardless of where you come down on it, it's the kind of thing where, we all know that there's a certain amount of voter fraud that goes on in these elections. That's not new. However, discovering 130,000 votes out of the blue for just one candidate is really open, sort of sabotage of the voting process, and it really should be investigated and prosecuted. There's no question about it. So this is something that I think we need to keep our eye on as we move into the post-vote phase. By the way, these companies just freelancing, these states freelancing their time, like Nevada, being like, we'll get those results back to you as soon as we're done on vacation or whatever. I mean, where are the results from Nevada? Trump won Alaska. Why aren't those results being counted? I'm going to show you how that works, but I want to get into a little bit of this investigation that they're going to try to pull against Trump here and why we should all object to it, because this is really partisan tampering with our vote. And it looks like the whole kind of, regime of the government coming in here to remove Trump and then to kind of settle in on this really harsh Biden regime that will come in and cozy up to with the Chinese and get that whole kind of COVID censorship thing going solid. And you and I will be out here, and if we say something out of line, then on Twitter they're going to say, that tweet is too sensitive, block that account, or you can't read this. They did it with the president today 3 times. I mean, what is this country becoming when you can't even speak your mind if you're the leader of the free world and they're going to shut you off? I mean, it's absurd. And they did it with the Washington, I'm sorry, with the New York Post. And what's interesting about that is, regardless of how you feel about the New York Post, and I personally could do without them, it's a major newspaper, so Twitter doesn't get to say what they're looking into. In that case, they were looking into Hunter Biden. So we need to understand the kind of period that we're in and how we're right on the precipice in this election, and we can't let them, on the information side, dominate the airwaves. So we have to get the message out and we have to get the conversations going. And if they say, hey, you can't meet up for Thanksgiving or whatever because of COVID and all that junk, this is what they're trying to prevent people from talking about these things. So don't fall for it. And let's kind of show them who's boss in this case. Okay, Washington Post also today, just breaking, okay, repeated Hatch Act violations set the stage to tilt the election. Okay, the election is still too close to call, but let's be clear about one thing. It was never a fair fight. That's right, President Trump and his administration have for years systematically co-opted the federal government to support his re-election effort. Now, this is his only re-election effort, so how could he be doing it for years? That has come in several different forms, and it has tilted the scales in the president's favor. Oh, you mean like presidents tilt things and the scales in their favor? Yeah, I guess that they do. The Hatch Act prohibits government officials, excluding the president and vice president, from using their official positions to support a candidate in a partisan election. That's why they went after Hillary Clinton with this. Day in and day out, senior White House officials and cabinet members have violated this law. They've advocated for the president and bashed his opponent in television interviews. Oh, and they've been funded with taxpayer-funded trips around the country. So they want to rule out this story and really kind of get it in your head so that we're not thinking about the election and that we're not thinking about the voter fraud and we're not thinking about the massive crowds that Trump had versus the weird drive-in rallies that Biden would have, or Biden's cognitive dissonance and the fact that they're, kind of basically what they're doing with the vote steal is very interesting because it's a very obvious kind of vote steal. So you might have thought, they try to pull out a squeaker in Michigan or something. No, they just dump 100,000 votes in there overnight and nobody's the wiser and they throw out the poll watchers. So it's kind of a disgrace and it will make us look bad on the international stage, which is why this is important and beyond any kind of partisan concern. We may need a recount of the entire election if they keep this up, because it's getting really obvious that this election has been monkeyed with dramatically, and it is all about using the whole COVID thing as an excuse to send out the mail-in ballots. That's what it comes down to, because normally with an absentee ballot, it works out quite well, actually, because you show your ID and you get a ballot and you sign it and you send it back and they ask you and there's all this back and forth. These other things were just, we're going to send out a bunch of ballots, have people send them in, and it's anyone's game. Now, I know there have been some nice rumors on the internet that we're going to see these ballots come back because there's an interesting, a Homeland Security badge on them, and it's going to expose the bad guys. It sounds to me like one of those fantasies to get everyone to sit back in their laurels. I wouldn't count on that at all. And if it happens, so much the better, but we're going to be pretty vigilant in the meantime. So a little bit more on this one. So it goes well beyond. This is back to the Washington Post article where they're trying to prosecute Trump now under Hatch Act violations and members of his cabinet, by the way. So if you've been in there with Trump, boy, watch out. You've been a bad person. It goes well beyond interviews and tweets. In any case, the Republican National Convention featured speeches from the White House and the naturalization ceremony performed by Department of Homeland Security Secretary, all included to improve the president's image before the election. Trump has also turned countless White House events and news conferences into de facto campaign rallies. So this is really like, getting into the small minutiae looking for something because they've been trying to get Trump since he got in. And, it's interesting, like I say, this is not a right-left issue because even when I was on here with Professor Peter Dale Scott and we were discussing it, he was very aware that the deep state and the CIA were after the Trump administration from day one. And even though he comes down on the left side of everything, his work has introduced the deep state. He's given us that look behind the curtain. But even with him, coming more from that left side, he understands that deep state versus the White House dynamic very well, and he tracked it all the way back to President Kennedy. What this consists of is the Central Intelligence Agency using their powers in order to influence national policy, foreign policy. Now remember, the Central Intelligence Agency is an extra-constitutional force. It's not envisioned in the Constitution, and it is not part of the normal national security apparatus. It was something that was put on artificially because President Truman wanted to get his hands on some intelligence for the president. So he was seeing all these agencies run around. He's like, wouldn't it be nice if we had one central one? And then he actually moved against the idea because he said, we don't want an American Gestapo. Well, welcome to American Gestapo. This is what you got with the Central Intelligence Agencies, and they are running the show. Because when you're in the media, I want to explain this dynamic a little bit. The CIA can really make or break a career. Because if you need information on a story and it's in India or it's in Pakistan or it's in Somali, if it's a story that is international, you won't get the intel that you need without dealing with the CIA. So they can really make or break journalistic careers, and the journalists are very aware of it. So they also have to rely on them to be honest. And I can tell you that the MO for the Central Intelligence Agency is they are not honest. And from the word go, they've been looking to eliminate the Trump administration. If you look behind all of the various scandals of the Trump administration, where they tried with the Ukraine thing and Russian collusion, it's all CIA agents and they're all CIA people. The dossiers, that's an MI6 person. The overhearing of the Ukrainian president talking with Trump, that's a CIA agent who gave us. So the CIA gave us all these scandals in the Trump era. So let's be clear about that. This is the CIA versus the presidency. And when you think about the Central Intelligence Agency's sway over the media, Roger Greenwald, who recently resigned from the website that he developed, Intercept, which was supposed to be about independent media, well, he wanted to write about this story that was going on. And the story was about Hunter Biden and the Joe Biden corruption with the Chinese Communist Party. And what was going on there is very fascinating because when we look at this, here is Greenwald getting out of the mainstream media. I know that feeling. And jumping into a new world, doing his own independent research. He hires his own team. He gets a publisher and funding and all the rest of it. And slowly but surely, that team turns against him and his own individual reporting. So this is a very, very serious matter. And he resigns, just like Matt Taibbi resigned from Rolling Stone. These people, and those guys are on the left, by the way, just in case you're thinking, well, you know, it's these right-wing people who just don't want a Biden administration. No, everyone can see that this is not a right-left issue. It's a fascism versus freedom issue. And I got to tell you, Taibbi and Greenwald know very well that the CIA is calling the shots. Greenwald said the fundamental problem in the media is the Central Intelligence Agency. So that's exactly what I've been saying here on the X series with the Dark Journalist Show. This is what we understand. So look then for them to spin the narrative now into prosecuting Trump for these ridiculous, like, Hatch Act things instead of letting the full weight of that voter fraud aspect kick in. Everyone, you're watching this little dark journalist update here. We're doing the X series tomorrow night on the election, and we'll be here with you at 8 p.m. I just wanted to give you an update because, you know, between Bannon getting thrown off, you know, while broadcasting for making his comments against the voter fraud, they literally could take any of our channels out, and we know this, so we have to get the information out while we can. I always say the best way to get around all of this is to sign up for the newsletter at darkjournalist.com. That's a free newsletter. And basically, all you get is an update on all the shows and the interviews that we have coming up for you. And this is going to be really something special, especially the interviews that I have coming up for you this weekend. You don't want to miss. Go there, sign up for the newsletter. That way, if you wake up someday and the social media channels for Dark Journalist aren't there, you'll still have that pipeline, and we'll pipe those videos and all that information directly to you through our newsletter. And like I said, if I had to, you know, I'd broadcast right off of this thing. So, you know, throwing me off social media isn't going to do anything in terms of my output. But in terms of how you get it, that's a real serious issue. And they will pull it, let me tell you, because that's just, you know, you have to be living in a fairy tale to think that they wouldn't. And they've grabbed more and more channels. Another thing I want to mention is, you know, when we're looking at this, you have to think about the motivations for these tech companies. What they really want you to do is get into this bubble of all thinking the same thing. And then they want the controlled thought idea to be between really kind of nonsensical issues, you know, that really don't impact things on a large scale, the false social posturing and things like that. Well, they kind of get away with big dollars and big info in the background, selling information about your life. So let's get very clear on that. Right now, we have the chance to make it a level playing field. It's not. But they're eliminating the avenues in the game for us to get that parity going. And my own feeling is there's a huge backlash coming against big tech, the major media, who lied over and over again about the polling numbers in relation to the president. Let's face it, I mean, they had him down 17 points, you know, a week before the election. It's absurd. Now, the thing is obviously neck and neck, and in truth, it looked like Trump's people were showing out in droves, and the Democrats resorted to the worst kind of voter fraud. And this just, you know, those answers are coming closer and closer. So we're going to be getting more of those. But there's a lot of answers in the past. There's a lot of information out there just in the past 2 days on this election. First of all, there is no election in recent memory where you stop counting. That doesn't happen. And you know, you needed a Supreme Court order to stop counting in 2000, okay? So even when you look back to 1960, you can see them, they're all tired, you know, their ties are down, their collars are open, they're waiting for that result. It's 5 o'clock in the morning. It's like everybody's counting the votes. You know, that's 1960. You're telling me that in 2020 they're not counting votes late? It's ridiculous. And all the states that they stopped counting the vote in, suddenly showed up with all these votes for Biden. I mean, it's absurd. So we have to very logically come in on it on a journalistic level, call it out for what it is, and on a public level, really rebuke the establishment for trying to pull this over on us. And while we're doing that, they're going to keep shutting people down, and it's going to be almost embarrassing at a certain point. You know, they're going to be like Baghdad Bob, denying that there's any problem in the background while the bombs are rocking them there. the big PR chief in Iraq. Let's not forget him. All right, here is the map I put together with a software program on Real Clear Politics. Now, here's what they've been putting out. And I'm watching for updates, by the way, just in case they update this story as we go. First of all, let's get this one. Yes. Okay, so they're saying Biden 264, Trump 214. And they're using states in there for Biden, like Arizona, for example. And Arizona is 11 electoral votes. However, even the New York Times, and I'm going to go on record with this, has not called for Arizona. The only people who have called for Arizona are Fox News, and then using the information, and they called it very early in the night, and they're still counting, and it's neck and neck. So they made a huge mistake. But AP, Associated Press, capitalized on that, and they jumped ahead and did this as well. I see we have Joseph Farrell out there. Hello, Joseph. You bet we're going to get his election analysis as soon as possible. It's great to see you out there. This is the actual map that I put together. And take a quick look at that. That is the actual state of the race based on actual confirmed results, and I'm going to tell you how. It shows that President Trump is leading 268 to 253 for Biden and Harris. And it's very simple how you arrive at these totals. But before we get to that, I want to show over here that what we're looking at is on the gray states, that's Nevada with 6 electoral votes. And the other one is Arizona with 11, which, as I said, in that weird map, they called for Biden, but it's neck and neck. And even the New York Times says it's basically a draw. That's why they didn't call it. For some reason, Fox News called it. And I'll tell you, Fox News, in the final couple of weeks before the election, started to turn on Trump, as did the Wall Street Journal. So whatever deal was made in the background there, I believe related directly to a Chinese influence and Chinese investing. And these investors, especially Wall Street Journal and that whole side of things, they are looking into a real kind of boom if they can get all of these things done that they couldn't get done under Trump working with China because he sort of had China's numbers. And a lot of this goes into a very deep picture with China that we need to get into. But the Chinese have undue influence on America and from country to country. And it's a really huge problem. And it's been covered over because the media has also been on that gravy train. And everybody wants the Obama China money gravy train back. And that's why they're so anxious to get rid of Trump, who was kind of messing up their game right up the middle. Everyone, you're watching this Dark Journalist special report. I am looking now deeply here at the electoral map as it actually is. And I have tweeted this out at twitter.com/darkjournalist. You want to take a look at this. This map just shows the states that have been called for Trump, the states that have been called for Biden, the two that are actually up in the air, which is Nevada with 6 electoral votes, and Arizona with 11. And remember, only Fox News called Arizona for Biden, and then AP hopped on their confirmation, which they got very early in the evening, but which nobody else saw because it's actually a neck and neck race. So, but on the flip side of that, they would not call the races that Trump was winning. Georgia, winning with an insurmountable margin. Pennsylvania, way ahead. At one point, 700,000 votes ahead. So, how much fraud do you need to overcome that kind of a total? It's pretty hard. And then they also would not give him Alaska. Okay, Alaska, he's leading with 65% of the vote with over 50%, and Alaska has gone red since 1964. Okay, so you're not going to get any kind of a surprise, but they won't give him those 3 votes because they want him to sit there at 214 while it looks like Biden is piling on victory after victory. This is very important because it's a mind control technique to create this invincibility, this inevitability, so that when it happens, everyone has been conditioned that it's going to happen. But in fact, even based on their own numbers, the actual race stands at 268 Trump on the electoral map and 253 Biden and Harris. North Carolina, Trump leading insurmountable lead, 99% of the vote in. And Georgia, 99%, listed by the Washington Post as 100% of the vote in. I've also tweeted that graphic out. It's in my Twitter stream. That's the homepage of the Washington Post. I can't tell you how many of Biden's fans came into that tweet thread and said, you know, that is Photoshopped or whatever. I said, go right to the Washington Post site right now. And if I invite you to go there right now, because this is really hilarious, they have listed 100% of the vote in for Georgia, and they have listed President Trump winning. And they've got the margin there, and it's substantial. So it's not the kind of thing that you could say, oh, that would get changed. You know, it's over 10,000 votes. So that's really important for us to get our heads wrapped around. The rest of this map is important too, because if it is, as I've pointed out, Pennsylvania, Georgia, those two are quite crucial. We know Florida and Ohio went to Trump. Those aren't being contested. Pennsylvania, North Carolina, and Georgia also aren't contested. They're just not being called for the president because they were like, oh, we've figured out that there's an extra 40,000 ballots over here, this kind of thing. But in fact, as I said with Arizona earlier, what they do is they snapshot the trend of where things are going. And if you have someone who is, for example, 100,000 votes ahead, and you only have a small number of votes to count, you calculate the percentage and you make your projection. That's how we've done elections for years. Suddenly, you can't do it this time because it doesn't fit in with the weird narrative that they picked up about dumping these votes in later from these very dubious sources. This is just a fact. Anyone looking at this election is going to say that. And of course, we have a natural process for, you know, extra mail-in ballots this year because they're dealing with COVID and people sending in more ballots than usual. But the, you know, there's a whole thing there. I could do a whole show about the ballots themselves. We all know that if 130 ballots, 30,000 ballots come in for a single candidate overnight, that that's most likely fraud. And we're going to show you, because you've probably seen this graph, it's been around quite a bit, about Wisconsin and Michigan and those kind of ridiculous vertical lines going straight up. Votes don't work like that. They're a back and forth game where even in, if you're in neighborhoods that heavily favor one candidate or another, or county by county. When you look at this map and you think if this was the map that everyone had been checking out and not looking at this kind of hapless map of 264 to 214. Now remember, Arizona is not in Biden's column, so that's actually 253. So right off the bat, we know that this version is completely flawed. And that's New York Times. 264 to 214, 270 to win. Let me show you how this breaks out. If Trump has 268 electoral votes, and it takes 270 to win, that means a victory in either Nevada or Arizona would give him the presidency. It also means that if any of the states, because of the hanky-panky that they pulled in Arizona and in Michigan and in Wisconsin, if any of that comes out in the wash and Trump gets the advantage back there, he also gets the votes. But just looking at the basic setup, even with all that vote fraud stuff in there, Trump has 268 electoral votes and it's versus 253 for Biden. So Biden needs 17. That's Nevada plus Arizona. He needs them both. If he gets those 17, he gets to 270 in this scenario, and then they can fight it out in court about the fraud that took place in Michigan and Wisconsin and other places. Trump, on the other hand, only needs one. He needs two electoral votes. If he gets two votes out of Nevada, or Arizona, or Arizona has 11, Nevada has 6. Either one of those states would put Trump over the top. That's the actual story. That's the tale of the tape on the ground. Any news organization looking at this would tell you that is the actual tale of the tape. This is based on their own reporting. They've got Georgia at 100% on the Washington Post, and Trump is winning. So, what's going on here? Why won't they call it? What about Alaska? Alaska's three electoral votes. He's got 65% as a projection in any ordinary, when they close the polls in California, they call it for the Democrats because they know they're going to win. It's just the way it works. It's the same thing with Alaska in this case, but they won't do it. And they've said, well, we're going to wait till November 10th. How about that? Now we're finding out that they're going to wait till November 10th to call Georgia as well, even though Trump is winning with 100% of the vote in. It's not that there won't be a few extra votes hanging out there, but they can project, flash project. We project the winner to be X, right? Just like Arizona, which, by the way, is getting tighter and tighter and neck, but they called it on Tuesday night. So this is a strange situation because it's actual media interference in the counting of the votes. We have to keep that in mind as we go along. Everyone, you're watching a special dark journalist update on the election we call Fortress America. And this is really how it's starting to feel. And we have to really take a look at this election and the tech influence and the media influence and be prepared to take heightened action, on the level of letting them know that we're not buying it. And that includes all the emails and all the sharing of information and really putting the message across that this is not going to fly, regardless of the amount of censorship. At a certain point, the censorship whip doesn't really work anyway, because a lot of people are like, hey, that guy's getting shut off. Let's see what they shut him off for. So you might create a boomerang effect there. Jack Dorsey, you might create that Mark Zuckerberg boomerang effect if you just go around trying to stamp out anything that doesn't kind of adhere to the narrative. This is a very important basis for us to look at this. So we've looked at the maps and we know what's going on there. I am going to wrap this up by showing you the state of the race in Wisconsin graph and mention something about this federal watchdog probing Trump's campaign. I want you to watch that story because I have a feeling it's going to be really hot on the entire way of looking at this whole setup of what they're trying to do. Over the next 24 hours, we should watch for the narrative to switch from the neck and neck election and voter fraud to Trump Hatch Act violations. Should he be prosecuted? Or should they give him a pardon to unify the country? This is what they're going to say. And so you're going to want to watch that. Trump, in his press conference, was very subdued, and he was a very matter of fact. He's got something up his sleeve there, and it's legal, for sure. That's the impression I got with him. But he also realized the extent of the voter fraud that was going on, but he didn't rail against it, and he didn't, go over the top. He was very solid about how he had assembled a legal team, and he was going to put up a very vigorous, defense of his position and the states that his campaign thinks that he won. And I believe that the fraud aspect is going to collapse under closer scrutiny, which could be, everybody's going to be scrambling for position there. So that's it represents something that we need to be psychologically prepared to see. And also to make a commitment to be very centered in the middle of that chaos, because part of this is to create chaos, to try to roll in, Biden, who is really not half there, as we know, and that's not being mean, but he was introducing his daughter as Beau Biden, so his granddaughter actually, and this was very disturbing. This was the day of the election, and there's no monkeying around. They've got it from so many different news sources. There wasn't any monkeying around with the audio on that. It's just that he keeps slipping up because his brain is not all there. And that's dangerous because it's easy to manipulate a president like that. Even Reagan at the end was being heavily manipulated by Bush after he was shot and had Alzheimer's. I mean, in the last couple of years of his administration, there were a lot of issues. And Bush took that to heart and created a lot of Iran-Contra with it. So we have to be careful of those types of scenarios, regardless of what happens. Okay, the state of the race in Wisconsin. You've probably seen this, but so Trump, the tale of the tape is Trump was winning Wisconsin and Michigan by a rather large margin, actually. And they stopped voting, which, as I said, is unheard of. Even if you go back to the 50s and 60s, they would count all night, and the only time they ever stopped counting was in the George Bush Al Gore election because they were told to stop by the Supreme Court. Now, What's of note in that picture is this incredible vertical line that shows up. And what it says here is Brown and Kenosha counties are still counting, but somewhere overnight you can see that very obvious direct jump of a line. And it's right here. That is the vertical line. It just goes whoop. And that, as you can see, is very unusual. Anyone who looks at graphs would know that something strange had happened there. Votes got dumped. Now, there's an equal line that looks just like that in Michigan. So when we're looking at it, there's so many of us who, even if you're a complete novice, never studied an election or anything like that, you're going to find that a little bit strange. And then you're going to look at it and think, that's a lot strange. But those two states were crucial for Biden to get within striking distance of Trump, who was having a very good night, and the Republicans in general had a very good night, so much so that the Democrats in Congress and the Senate were getting a lot of internal consternation about not taking more seats because they lost seats in the House and they barely, they didn't overtake the Senate. So in fact, except for this voter fraud shenanigan with Biden and Trump, they didn't actually have a very good night at all. The problem is that the places where they stole the votes are Democrat run. So you have the Democrat governors who are also in favor of the lockdown, and you see how these two things go. Biden gets in, he wants a national mask mandate. He's in there with the COVID contingent, and then the reset regime who want to kind of take this Internet of Things and turn our cities that they've destroyed with the BLM riots and all these types of things and make them centers for the new Internet of Things and the smart cities, and we just get sucked into the grid over the next decade. That's their plan. Our plan is to expose their plan and to have a plan of our own, which is to keep the country free and thereby be that example to the world. As we speak, there's a really interesting, powerful protest that's been going on in England about the lockdown that has been reinitiated there. It's not going to fly. The new lockdowns are not going to fly. The Europeans are sick of them. And if you try that here in America, as they are, and they're doing it even here in Massachusetts, they're already showing those indications and creating curfews and all this other nonsense. But this time, I think they're going to have a much harder time with it, although with Biden and Kamala Harris, they'd have a much easier time. Okay, and with that, I'm just gonna jump off and I will tell you that tomorrow night we will be live. We'll have a very special show on the election for you and the COG aspect, which I didn't get into tonight, but which is majorly in play with this because when they have that standoff between Biden and Trump legally, then they're going to announce that the continuity of government is going to be activated. This is something that we get into quite a bit in the X series, and it comes out of the work of Professor Peter Dale Scott. So we're going to be getting into that as well. So thank you very much for joining me here tonight. And I want to also remind you again, go to the Dark Journalist website, sign up for our newsletter. Because, as we look around and we see all these people being taken off social media, just absurd. And we really need to prevent that type of thing from taking place. And so we're going to be on top of it. And if we have that pipeline with each other, it's going to be a lot easier. And maybe at some point, the social media companies will get smashed into not being such a monopoly. And so this whole thing will be a lot easier because, when you think, I was thinking about what a freak show it is to go to the president's Twitter feed and to see Twitter censoring him as if they're giving themselves the power of the presidency. It's insane. We've walked into insanity and we're going to walk them back out of insanity by letting them know that we're not going for it. So this is very important, I think, on our side. And in terms of our quest for the truth, it's going to be, as I've pointed out, this is very much like the American Revolution. And the king was so corrupt and had so much power. And he sent so many ships over to sabotage all of our supplies and things of this nature. We're going to see a lot. It's a return to that revolutionary period. There's no question in my mind. But we're definitely aware of it, and I would say that the more awareness that we show and the more pushback that we show, and like I say, it's a nonviolent kind of pushback. It's an information pushback, it's an awareness pushback, but it is a force to be reckoned with. And when it comes to the kind of fascism that they're trying to inaugurate through a health issue, and then the, election standoff and the whole civil war idea. Really what they're doing is they're positioning themselves to keep us so confused that they can initiate the new smart city reset regime. And that puts them on top. And part of this, I want to say with this election, when you saw Trump bringing out those amazing crowds, they were intentionally on the Democrat side rolling out Joe Biden into these driving crowds that intentionally looked pathetic. And their idea, I believe, was to say, look, no matter how much people power you have, as long as we have the power of Twitter and Facebook and the media, you can't do anything against us. Do you understand? So when we look at that kind of, arrogance, I guess is the only way we can really describe it, that's getting a real snapshot of where they're coming from. So I wondered why they were allowing those visuals to go on side by side, because I said, in any election setup, they're going to look at this and say, wait a minute, Trump is way ahead, So if they were able to pull it off, having Biden basically not do anything for his election, practically nothing. And they didn't have Harris do much either, except for the terrible debates where Biden performed terribly. So what is it that would actually give Biden a victory? Can you remember one piece, one slogan that they had? I don't remember anything. Build Back Better, which is a UN slogan, that was about it. And they didn't even use that much. In an election, in a normal election, a candidate comes out and he says, I'm going to cut taxes and I'm going to tax the rich and I'm going to do all this other stuff. And you really remember the things that he says, healthcare for all. Bernie Sanders would have said that. With Biden, I don't remember anything that he said. I mean, he didn't really have any positions. It was basically like, I'll go back to milking the China cow and I will go back and put us in the Paris Accords, which lock in our country from any business growth while China pollutes the world. And we send our jobs over there and they have this incredibly bad labor standard. And the people in the middle make a lot of money. And we have seen that Biden, although it was not explored by any news agency, which should have given us a real warning, all the kind of corruption that Biden was involved with in relation to this. We need to keep that in mind. Everyone, you're watching the Dark Journalist Show. Wow, it's been great coming out here. And I have to tell you, when I saw the censorship going on and I saw Trump come out and give his speech and how they were, before he came out, the news media, they were doing their own reports to the camera. And they were like, Trump may misinform you here. Don't pay attention to him. And this is craziness, I mean, they have really flipped. And their fans have flipped. They're just gone over the edge. It's one thing, and we should have a very robust debate about the future of the country. And if you don't like Trump, that's fantastic. If you like Biden, great. I don't see why you would, because he can barely put two sentences together and doesn't have any policy positions, but that's your choice. If you like Bernie Sanders, well, look, Bernie Sanders had some good things to say. If he was against the lockdown, he probably would have got a lot more votes and attention, but they didn't really want him either. Because they wanted to move in this system, and this system is really cozy with the Chinese government and with the kind of corporate overlord idea. And that corporate overlord idea splits up countries like the United States, Canada, and Mexico into an economic zone. That's how they think of the world. So they think of the Asian economic zone and the North American economic zone. They don't want the Constitution to get in the way of that. They don't want the Bill of Rights to get in the way of that. They don't want the Declaration of Independence to get in the way of that. And certainly not citizens and our thriving middle class who are aware of their rights. They want to dwindle these things down, and they basically want to get this kind of transhumanist reality, the technocracy going. So that's where they're coming from. We are coming from, on just a very basic, straight-ahead level, a call for transparency with the election, with the forces that are coming to bear in this, overthrow of the Trump administration from every angle. And now they're going to try, as I said, to sort of prosecute Trump. That's going to be the next thing, to get you out of thinking about the voter fraud. Well, don't fall for it. Send them a very clear message that it's not working. and this is how it's going to go. I do ultimately think that this system has become very top heavy, and that top heavy things tend to tumble over. So we're going to be looking at picking up the pieces from the disaster that people like Dorsey and like Bezos and like the corrupt politicians and Zuckerberg and those types of forces. Because remember, it's the people who that are behind them that are really pushing this, and they stand to gain the most. And we need to know their names, and that's an important thing. I'm going to do a couple of shout-outs here. Tricky Vicky, it's great to see you out there. Groovy Bean has been doing a fantastic job out there. Really appreciate that on very short notice coming to the rescue. And of course, Groovy has done some great work herself, and she's working on something in the background there that is going to be great when it comes out. So be very tuned for that. But thank you. It's great to see you out there. Irie A, it's great to see you. Thank you so much for joining us. A cult fan, there he is. He's out there. Dance party, the dance party is on. Get out of there, John Boy. That's a good name. That's a good screen name. Najat, it's great to see you out there. Carolyn Goida, terrific. The Watermark Sting story, yes. Well, I did mention this, and unless somebody comes forward with something that shows that the Department of Homeland Security actually put those watermarks on there, that would be outstanding. But it's nothing I want to wait around for. If somebody has it, great. I'm the first guy. Send me a copy. I want to see one of them. But I'm not waiting on that one because it sounds to me a little bit like the, hey, don't worry, they've got George Soros is going to Gitmo in a barge. You remember that story? And we all remember cabal arrests were coming any day now. Well, it didn't happen, and here we are, and that's all right because we didn't fall for that anyway, did we? But we definitely are in a very interesting and new position, and I think it's something where we know that they're on the run because we're looking for transparency, and they can't stand the truth. And I say they is kind of, I know that's kind of a monolith thing, and it's a variety of forces that we try to break down on this show. But I think it is important that, and I want to point this out to my viewers and to all you guys in relation to this, which is they seem to have gone into a phase of overdrive between the coronavirus and between this contested election. And I think it's unhealthy for them, and it's unhealthy for us. And what we're trying to do is to push them back to sanity and expose the operations that they're doing. They have completely overreached in a dramatic fashion, and I think it'll boomerang on them, but it's going to be ugly all around unless the things change on this. And the best way to get transparency and to move the culture forward on this is to get the transparency going and to really push back and to really demand better than just kind of fixed elections and strange statistics. I think it was Naomi Wolf, just an absolutely fascinating woman who's been deep, deep in the political scene for years. And she was the one saying, the New York Times prints all these COVID statistics on their homepage and they never show the source. In journalism, you get fired for that. And when I was working in various magazines and newspapers, if you put something out there and you didn't have a source for it, you were out. That was it. Your editor would come over, tap you on the shoulder, and that guy was gone. So, you need two sources when you have any story. The New York Times won't show any sources when they say, oh, these cases are out of hand, and they have all these charts on their homepage. There's no source listed. And this is what she noticed and pointed out and basically harassed them on their Twitter feed. And she was asking all the right questions. They didn't respond at all because they can't. Because what they're using is a weird, cooked-up model of all this, and it's just meant to keep the kind of vibe going. You remember the Homeland Security terror threats? You have to be on orange alert or yellow alert and all these things after 9/11. It's very much like that because, if the threat goes away, all their powers go away. Gavin Newsom can't talk about martial law. Charlie Baker can't say you need a curfew, the governor of Massachusetts. These crazy people, like Gretchen Whitmer, they can't try to seize these emergency powers. And that's a really big problem for them and the people who are pulling their strings behind them. And remember, a lot of these people are just middle managers who are collecting the check, and the real deeper, darker force is the thing that's behind them. And that's what we're really after, not the middle managers. We have to keep that in mind. And we have to look through those middle managers to figure out, see through them to the fears and the influences going on behind them. It's been great spending this time with you here tonight, and I think we got a lot in there about, and I think Trump did a good job coming forward tonight, keeping very level-headed and getting right to the point about the cases he'll be bringing in relation to the election fraud that he's been witnessing. Rat Boy Genius is out there. It's great to see you. Lee Veltman, of course, it's great to see you as well. Kate, it's great to see you. Robert Diggins, excellent. Occult Priestess, hey, it's good to see you. We will be back with you next Friday, tomorrow night, as a matter of fact, going deeper into all this. And in the meantime, we'll be watching close for the election results and all the interesting news that'll be coming on around all this. I do also want to say that remember, based on the map, this is based on the actual votes on the ground. It's Trump 268 in the Electoral College, Biden 253. This is very important. Trump takes either the recount that's going on, or it's not even a recount, but it's since they called it, it's something beyond just a normal race. If Trump takes Arizona for 11 electoral votes, or if he takes Nevada, which is very possible, then he goes in with either 274 or 279 electoral votes. That's really the tail of the tape of the election. For some reason, all of these different news organizations have put the story out there about the vote totals without giving you the big picture. And they keep showing us all the big picture of Biden with 264 and 214 for President Trump because they refuse to call even Alaska for Trump. That's the way you create a perception management that Trump is losing and Biden is winning, which is crucial for this. And as I said, the next phase that they're going into is Trump violated the Hatch Act, let's go after his family, et cetera, et cetera. We know how this game plays out. Boy, I bet Trump is looking around for like that Roy Cohn connection now and thinking, what would Roy Cohn do to these guys? But we are looking at some mafia wars here, but there certainly is something pretty ugly working behind the scenes, bringing in the reset regime, which is really the new world order that these other people have been warning us about for so many years. And thank God they did because we're really kind of ready for them in a number of ways. We will see you tomorrow night at 8 p.m. And also have a very special interview coming for you this weekend. So stay tuned for that. Go to darkjournalist.com and make sure that you sign up for the newsletter. Keep us in touch. And that's going to be very crucial as we're going forward here. And tomorrow, yes, I will be back in the studio. So this is just kind of fun to be here with you. And Bruce Ross Morgan, it's great to see you out there, sir. Of course, Dr. Joseph Farrell out there at Giza Death Star. Amazing reporting that Joseph has been doing on this building up to the election. And so it's great to be here with everyone. What a terrific night. And we'll keep our eye on the count. And we will see you all tomorrow. Thanks so much for joining us. And CC Jarvis, it's great to see you out there. Andy B, LeChat, it's great to see you. Timothy Vahar, M&M Matthews. Wow, great crowd tonight. Outrageous. I just literally, at the drop of a hat, put the show together, but it was great to do and great to be here with you all. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great night. And remember, it says end broadcast, but you know, it never really ends. Have a great